It's like a dream come true again. I was just telling Coach Tomlin outside, it seems like 5 years all over again, and I'm ready to start this path and help this team get back to where we need to get back to, and excited about the new venture, man. It's a really awesome feeling, and words can't really say enough about this.
Everybody, welcome to Steelers.com Live at 4. I'm Missy Matthews, joined by Bob Laviola and Mike Prasuta. You just heard from Steelers center Marquise Pouncey. It is the end of OTAs, guys, and we will get to that. But the big news today, of course, is the contract extension for Marquise Pouncey.
Yeah, and Marquise Pouncey, a guy who's coming off a significant injury, but a guy who nonetheless got a contract extension from the Steelers. And from what I've been told in the interim since that press conference this afternoon, it was relatively willing on both sides. As one of the staffers told me walking down to the studio here, you really don't mind giving money to a guy such as this who means so much to your team. Marquise Pouncey, no less an authority than Ben Roethlisberger called him a leader, not just an all-pro center, but a leader on the team. And this is how it's supposed to work, right, Labs? You draft guys in the first round and they become really good players for you, and then you retain them when they're going into their second NFL contracts, and you get the best they have to offer at the height of their careers.
Right. To me, it's really a win-win deal. You know, the Steelers, this new contract means Marquise Pouncey is bound to the Steelers through the 2019 NFL season. In July 2019, Marquise Pouncey will turn 30. So what this means is that the Steelers will have the services of a guy who's already been voted first-team All-Pro. And when you're a center and there's only one, that means you're the best center in football. They will have his services through his 30th birthday, which, you know, in the NFL, you could say quarterbacks hit their prime when they're 30. But I would think linemen, once they get to 30, they're more on the decline than they would be hitting their prime. So the Steelers are getting a guy who's already been an all-pro center through his 30th birthday. Marquise Pouncey will have made, before his 31st birthday, a total of at least $50 million as a professional football player. So to me, this is win-win. And I think that what we saw at that news conference, to me, was also an indication that the Steelers gave the money to the right guy.
All right, and let's take a listen to a little bit more from Pouncey's press conference whenever he started to get emotional.
Marquise, what does it tell you about how the organization values you coming off the circumstances you just detailed with your knee?
Words can't explain that, man.
Marquise, it's important in your mind to be the highest paid center in the league, or did that enter into the negotiations at all?
I'm just glad to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, to be honest with you guys.
Marquise, when you got here, I think you had an idea about the tradition at your position, but have you come to appreciate what it means to be a Steeler center with Dawson and Mike Webster and so forth?
Most definitely. I'll do anything for this team. I think that showed over the past, and I'm ready to start something new now and lead us to where, like I said, where we got to get back to, and I'm trying not to bust out crying, so it's hard to really talk right now. So.
And guys, you could kind of tell through the whole press conference, not even just that part, that he was very emotional about it. Mike Tomlin, Art Rooney II, Dan Rooney, Kevin Colbert in the room, and you could see Coach Tomlin and all of them looking at him kind of with this approval of, like, this guy gets it, he's emotional, he wants to be here, what we just did was a good thing.
Yeah, Marquise Pouncey, is a guy who, this is the reality of his situation. You know, at the start of the fourth year on his original five-year deal, he was being carted off the grass at Heinz Field with a serious knee injury. Serious enough that Marquise Pouncey said one of his initial thoughts were, will I ever walk again? That was the reality of his professional life at that point. But nowhere from then till even today did he say that was this contract extension foremost in his mind. What's going to happen to me in terms of my contract? Am I going to get a contract here? Am I going to have to play out and enter free agency and test the market? You know, none of that stuff was really in his mind. His focus was on getting himself back to 100% or as close as he can be and doing what he feels is necessary to get the Steelers back to where he believes they need to be, which I'm sure is in contention for a Super Bowl. So this is why, in my opinion, the Steelers gave the money to the right guy, because at a time when you mix a 24, he's still 24, he won't be 25 till about a month, 5 weeks from now. You mix this kind of money with someone who's only 24 years old, usually you don't get a lot of humility and perspective, but that's what Maurkice Pouncey was showing at that news conference today.
Yeah, I think another thing that needs to be said about Maurkice Pouncey, he did miss the entirety of last season other than eight plays, and that wasn't his fault. He got hit from behind by one of his own guys. It was a horrific accident, a horrific misfortune. That's what cost him a lot of time. He also missed a Super Bowl. And I think that has some people thinking that maybe this guy's not as durable as he should be. I think the statistics bear out a different tale when it comes to Maurkice Pouncey's durability. He played 18 games in 2010, 14 in 2011, and 15 in 2012. For the vast majority of his time, other than last season, he's been ready to answer the bell, and he's answered it well.
Yeah, missing three starts, three regular season starts over your first three NFL seasons. With injuries, to me, is not the mark of someone who's injury prone. So, yeah, again, I think Maurkice Pouncey gets a bad rap for missing all of last season. You know, it was
a freak
friendly,
accident,
right? Friendly fire too, and an ACL injury is not an example of a guy not being in shape or not having his body ready, you know, for the rigors of the sport or whatever. You know, a guy dives at your knee, and when your foot is planted and your ligament rips, you know, that just happens. I mean, there's no way to avoid that except not to have a guy, your teammate, dive at your knee.
Well, and one of the first things Ben Roethlisberger said, guys, after practice today is that Pouncey is that guy, even though it was because he was rehabbing, is always in the locker room, is always taking care of his body, doing what he needs to do in the offseason. So kind of that guy, he said, that proves through, you know, his leadership off the field but also on the field in the locker room of what guys should be doing.
Yeah, and the kind of presence he has on the field, too. Let's not forget, Maurkice Pouncey is the guy who explained practice etiquette to Ryan Shazier in no uncertain terms during the first OTA. Ryan Shazier, number one pick, you know, but hey, Maurkice Pouncey let him know this is the way that we practice here. These are the things we do not do in practice here when we're going against each other. I think that, you know, when you look forward to the 2014 NFL season, the very first critical moment that this offense faces, everybody's going to look to Ben first. But then they're going to look to Pouncey next.
Yeah, that's an opinion of Pouncey that was reinforced by Mike Munchak, the new offensive line coach. It didn't take him very long to figure out that Pouncey is, quote, the leader of the group. And Munchak figured that out because Pouncey was here, I don't know, Missy, what would you say, as regular as anybody in the offseason?
95% of the time.
The whole offensive line group, they were here more than we were.
That is true.
We were here all the time. So I agree with Lab's assessment, win-win, and be very exciting to see Pouncey get back on the field with the pads on at St. Vincent and see if the all the attention that's been devoted to the running game, a healthier Le'Veon Bell, LeGarrette Blount added, Dree Archer added. Let's see what they can do with the line intact from the get-go.
Yeah, one last point about Pouncey. A lot of times you can learn or gauge, you know, what teammates think of a player by how the guys who go against him in practice view him. And I was told very early in Maurkice Pouncey's rookie training camp, the defensive linemen were in a group, and that was a veteran group. That was back in those days, that was, you know, Casey Hampton and Chris Hoke and Brett Kiesel and Aaron Smith. They were all sitting around in a group in the locker room talking about the rookie center and the things that he was doing. And, you know, when you get respect from those kind of veterans on the other side of the ball that quickly, you've made a mark.
Well, speaking of what other guys think about Pouncey, here's what Ben Roethlisberger had to say about his abilities and how he helps the offensive line.
He's incredibly athletic, very smart, but he puts the work in. I mean, he's here constantly bugging the coaches to watch more film and talk about things. And I think that's, you know, just his work ethic is tremendous.
Ben, the way he plays, does it allow the line to do different things that maybe other centers wouldn't be able to do with another center?
Well, as athletic as he is, I mean, you can pull him, you can do so many things with him. And like I said, he's so smart, his declarations, he can talk. And he's kind of, that group up front is a special group as it is. And he's kind of their glue that holds them all together.
All right, guys, as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, today was day 10, the final day of OTAs. Football in shorts, this session is over. Next week is minicamp. Are you cheering, Labs?
I'm just cheering that we're this much closer to football in pads.
Okay. All right. That works.
Okay.
Here's what Heath Miller had to say about finally getting closer to what Labs wants in real football.
You know, I enjoy the practices in the spring. You know, we kind of get tired of running and lifting and doing the same thing, so this breaks it up a little bit, and you know, it's what we're here for, is to play football, and it's a great opportunity to get better.
Guys, I know OTA is kind of a hard thing to gauge, but we did, and I know we've talked about this since pretty much day one of OTAs, the Ryan Shazier project in terms of seeing him with the first team and what he can do. Other than that, anything that else really kind of stuck out to you, Labs?
Yeah, the thing that I really came, was brought home to me at the Heinz Field practice was this. You know, when you're watching the Dree Archer highlight reel from his time at Kent State, he's really, really fast against the teams that Kent State played. Well, when you're watching Dree Archer out on this field, he's really, really fast playing with and against guys who are NFL caliber players.
You're saying the Steelers have a better defense than Eastern Michigan?
Faster players on their defense, yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. So, you know, to me that was something that, you know, the guy's legitimate in terms of his speed. And, you know, talking to people, you know, I was talking to one guy who was explaining to me that, you know, defensive players tend to track people with the ball. You know, it's always kind of an angle thing. You're trying to get yourself to the point where, you know, you can intersect the guy with the ball with where he's going. The thing with Archer is, most of the times you're wrong. When you get to the spot where you think he's going to be, he's already gone. And he also understands how fast he is, and he will use that speed, you know, to defeat you in terms of those angles. So, you know, this is a guy who is legitimately fast, and he knows he is legitimately fast. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I don't think it's going to be too long before we start seeing a bunch of number 13 jerseys in the stands at Heinz Field.
Yeah, what about you?
Same kind of thing. Just the running back position is what really got my attention. Not just Archer, but LeGarrette Blount. This is a guy, if you look at the numbers, I think his career average per carry is 4.7 yards an attempt. And he has quite a few attempts. He's got 20 rushing touchdowns in four NFL seasons. He is as big as a Mack truck, and he moves like one. You start wondering, why is this guy with his third team going into his fifth NFL season? And the reason is he's got some baggage attached to him. That's why he wasn't one of those strike of midnight big money free agents. The Steelers didn't get his services for free, but he was kind of a second level guy or a third tier guy. But he has done nothing but show a great attitude. He's interacting with his teammates very well. I talked to young Steelers. I talked to older Steelers. He's already considered a good guy in the locker room. He and Le'Veon Bell are getting along famously. And this combination of Le'Veon Bell, LeGarrette Blount, and Dree Archer, Lab, I came into this wondering how much no huddle, how fast, how often, more no huddle. Started thinking they might run the ball a few times, too.
Well, you can run the ball out of the no huddle, too. I mean, really, and that's
not against the rules.
No, it's not. I looked. You know, and that, to me, is when this offense, you know, the offense can still run the ball efficiently without it, you know, turning into Woody Hayes, Ohio State, 3 yards, you know, and a brush-burned elbow. You know, I really think that what we're going to see from this offense is not a reduction of opportunities for Ben Roethlisberger to make plays. I just think it's going to be, it's going to give him more of a diverse group of weapons and methods with which to try, you know, and make these big plays. And Mike, you know, you were mentioning why LeGarrette Blount wasn't a stroke of midnight big signing. I think that kind of reflects what's going on in the NFL with running backs at this point. I mean, Mike Tomlin was giving Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount a hard time during one of the special teams workouts at the at Heinz Field, special teams periods. And, you know, Mike Tomlin was saying to him, you know, all you guys do is tote the ball. He said, do either one of you have any skills that I'm not aware of? And LeGarrette Blount said, I can return kickoffs. And Tomlin started laughing and said, been there, done that with a guy your size. His name was Gary Russell and Najee Davenport. Didn't work out real well. But
I'll tell you what,
I understand.
I see where he was going. Yeah. This guy's better at it than those two
guys.
Well,
how could he be worse? But what my point is, though, is that this is the way that it's kind of going in the league at this position. I think it's good for the Steelers as one of the teams that still values running backs and running the football, because you were able to get a guy like LeGarrette Blount to complement your high draft pick, your franchise guy, at a reasonable rate.
But they not only have him to complement Le'Veon Bell. I think it was the first OTA. Le'Veon Bell talked afterward about playing in the same personnel group as LeGarrette Blount. We saw LeGarrette Blount today in the two-minute stuff, and he was talking about the reason he doesn't have a lot of catches is that nobody ever throws him the ball. And I've heard some differences of opinion on that, but the point I'm getting to is I think this guy's more versatile than initially advertised. I think there will be more uses for this guy than initially advertised. And Labs, even if they wind up being all no huddle all the time for the first couple, 3 months of the season, it's already been pointed out to me by a staff member what might happen if you get in one of those bad weather games in December in the Northeast where it's about 5 degrees and the field is raw and the players are raw and the Steelers are just slamming Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount into the line one after another. Do you think that might have a cumulative effect on wearing a defense down?
Establishing the mindset, as a former coach with a protruding jaw used to say.
Well, as Labs had already mentioned, the Steelers did change things up during the final week of OTAs. We headed to Heinz Field, and guys, there was also that chance to not only get some of the, especially those younger guys, the rookies, although Tua has already played at Heinz Field, getting a chance to get there, see what it's like. And I talked to Will Gay after, and he pretty much said, look, they need to just realize this place isn't mystical. It's just another football field. They need to just do their job. But we also had a chance to see the new scoreboard that will be debuting this season. And Labs, I think Steelers.com Live would look pretty good up there.
No, I cannot imagine me in Pursuta on a 35-foot by 75-foot, whatever it is.
I kind of like to imagine that. I'm with Missy. I think we need to do a show over there.
Yeah, haven't we suffered enough?
Well, we already did our show at Heinz Field, so we're probably not welcome back again. We'll work on it, though.
I guess Stage AE's out then, too.
Yeah. But there was also a little fun on Monday, some off-field team bonding, as we like to call it. The Steelers headed to Dave & Buster's in the waterfront. These guys pretty much had a chance to pretend like they were little kids again. They were still competitive. Basketball, as you see here, one of the hot spots. But, I mean, Dick LeBeau was playing games. Everybody was involved. And Lams, this is kind of something that Mike Tomlin has established as a way to have a little fun but still do something together during OTAs.
Yeah, team building, as Mike Tomlin calls it. And had I been asked, I would have cautioned any of the players. Whatever you decide to challenge Dick LeBeau at, don't make it be golf. You will lose. A lot of people better than you have tried. They have lost as well. But I don't know, maybe on some of these video games and stuff, you know, he might be an easy mark. But
he's pretty good at skee ball.
Well, I would imagine most of the hand-eye type things, you know, the guy who would have 62 interceptions might not be bad at that kind of stuff. I'm just going to go out on a limb and guess that.
All right, well, as we said, next week marks the start of minicamp. The Steelers will be doing that Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Guys, kind of something that's mandatory, so a little different, maybe a little more exciting than OTAs, and it also means the return of Troy Polamalu.
Yeah, and that's the one thing maybe that's on the top of everybody's list in terms of...
Do you think anyone will want to interview him Tuesday?
I think a lot of people want to interview him, but I think even more people want to see how he interacts with Mike Mitchell. That's going to be a relationship that has to build, and... They're both veteran guys. I don't imagine it's going to take the reinventing of any wheels or mousetraps, but it'll still be nice to see them get together and play in the same defensive backfield. A lot of new toys have been on display this spring. Maybe time to dust off one of the old favorites.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not so concerned about, you know, whether Troy and Mike Mitchell are going to be compatible or anything. You know, again, I'm going to say this again. Ryan Clark created this notion that it is somehow more difficult to play with Troy Polamalu than be Troy Polamalu. And I'm here to tell you that is not accurate. You know, if everything else fails, you know, Mike Mitchell and Troy Polamalu could both do what Dick LeBeau tells them. And that has worked out fairly well here over many years.
As a radical last-ditch attempt to salvage something. Yeah.
Well, here's what Will Gay said about the return of Troy.
First of all, just him just being around the building smiling, We get to catch up with him and see what he's been doing in the offseason. But just his presence. All the young guys are waiting for him to come to just to get to talk to him. I took a picture of him. I saw him in Tallahassee on a Head and Shoulders in the – I think I was at Sam. So I'm going to show him that when he gets here. But, yeah, just all the young guys are ready to see him. We got the full group back, and then we're going to be ready to rock and roll.
All right. I like when he says rock and roll, by the way.
Will Gay says a lot of good things. He's trying to become like the next Ike, I think.
I just like
He's
to hear rock
there.
And roll. More guys should say that.
Well, I wonder why. When's Bruce coming on? All right. Mike Mitchell, as we are kind of talking about, guys, another person. He isn't like Ryan Clark Labs in the sense that he's always talking and making noises at practice, but he is somebody who I think has – Ryan Clark was very vocal.
Making noises. Okay. I like that.
All right. So, Mike Mitchell.
I got another way he's different.
Okay.
He covers a lot of ground in the secondary when the ball's in the air. Seriously. I mean, a lot of this, a lot of us are talking about, a lot of people in the media, we're talking about it here, you know, this, you know, the return of Troy and the impact, you know, he's going to have and the impact that this relationship between Troy and Mike Mitchell is going to have on the defense. The impact Mike Mitchell is going to have on this defense is he can cover a lot of ground, and he is going to help these cornerbacks immensely. Remember when Ike Taylor showed up for his first OTA, one of the things he said after his first practice was how Will Gay was texting him saying, man, these guys are flying all over the place. We've got a lot of speed on defense.
Track me.
Yeah, you know, he was talking about the free safety. So this is going to be different for the Steelers and different, better in this respect. You know, for the previous two seasons, the Steelers' defense has totaled 10 interceptions each year. Not good enough. 10 interceptions, not good enough. You need more big plays. You need more takeaways. And a free safety who can cover more ground helps you get to that number.
Well, in case if you're wondering what Mike Mitchell was going to be doing and how he's going to be used in Dick LeBeau's defense, here's what he had to say.
I do, but I don't want to say that, you know, publicly. I'm just going to keep doing what they asked me to do. You know, I'll be doing a lot of things from covering to blitzing and everything in between.
At practice, which was, what, day nine, Ryan Shazier had a pretty nice pick.
Oh, my God. Maybe.
Do you want to imitate it since we don't have video?
I prefer not
to. Could
you
jump maybe that high?
The thing that really struck me about that was I talked to Ryan Shazier about it, and I also talked to Bruce Gradkowski, the guy that threw the ball that got intercepted. And Bruce Gradkowski's going into his ninth NFL season. He pretty much knows how this stuff works, particularly in the spring. And he said he never for a second thought that Ryan Shazier would be able to make the vertical play that he made. He thought he had an easy throw lobbing it over a linebacker, and Ryan Shazier went up like Shaquille O'Neal and just cleared the glass. And Labby's not just a fast guy. He's an athletic guy in a lot of ways.
Well, that was one of the things Dick LeBeau talked about right away the day that the Steelers drafted Ryan Shazier, was that, you know, his impact will be obvious in a lot of ways in terms of, you know, plays that he makes, but his speed is going to allow him to get to spots on the field, to areas on the field where shortly after the season starts, quarterbacks, once the video starts, you know, being passed around the league, opposing quarterbacks are going to realize that they can no longer make that throw that they had been able to make against the Steelers, that over the middle, I've never seen an inside linebacker get to that spot that quick. And so that's going to also help by taking away certain areas of the field for the quarterback. You limit where he can throw, and then it's easier to kind of predict or anticipate where he might throw. And I'm going to go back to this again. 10 interceptions isn't enough. This can also help that total in a way that he's not directly getting his hands on the football.
I just want to write this down. 10 interceptions
is not enough.
Not.
Yeah. You can underline not. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
That was a lot of rules for today. No rules next
he's
week.
He's fired up because it's almost minicamp.
It is.
It's almost, it's one step closer to no more football in shorts. That's the way I look at it.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here today on Steelers.com Live. For Bob and Mike, I'm Missy. We'll see you next week at 4:00.